Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk over some communication that came out across an extra inning insight, is what's called a home plate, that came out from NCAA softball umpires about off-season preparation for college umpires. So, David?
Successful umpires know that there are no shortcuts to success, and hard work during the off-season is paramount to getting your competition season off to a good start. While the offseason provides for a time for rest and rejuvenation, it is also a time to prepare and train for your upcoming season. So this is, if you couldn't tell, that was a direct quote in how I read it. So all credit where credit is due. This is definitely coming from the publication itself. And then we'll just talk to some of these points that are in here. So also a quote, umpires are accountable for that preparation and must develop a plan that will allow them to be ready for their first pitch in 2025. So what's the first area of suggested preparation that they have in the publication, Pete?
Yeah, so the first thing they want you to focus on is rest and relaxation. So downtime is a necessity. Having work-life balance is important. So getting the rest in that you need in order to rest and rejuvenate from the season.
Yeah, because the grind starts February and runs all the way to June for some umpires. So I know that, for me, I have no expectation of an NCAA postseason, so I'll be done probably early May. But there definitely will be some people out there that are going to start in February. Some umpires, too, are going to be headed down to Space Coast and some other large tournaments here in the early spring when the divisions, will go south or west to get some of their games in. And so anyway, it's going to start. So a suggestion here is to reflect back to the first game you ever umpired, your first high school game, your first NCAA game, your first conference assignment, and your first conference tournament, your first postseason assignment if you've had some, and the excitement that each one of those firsts ignited. Ask yourself why you still umpire. It might be a challenge of working a well-managed game or getting a big call right, the camaraderie we're also appreciative of, or simply the love of softball. It could be all of those things. I think all of those are great.
And I think this is something that, as it's talking about what you're doing in the offseason, I think this is something that players do. If you think about professional players in various sports, especially when you listen to certain retirement speeches of people, a lot of things they talk about is as the season starts to get, it becomes harder and harder to get themselves ready for the season, to take themselves away from their family, to get the mindset right, to want to compete at the level that's necessary. So, that's important. We're not trying to run people away, but one of the things you may want to do there is, like I mentioned, is kind of get in touch with, why are you doing this? Why do you love the game? Why do you love the sport? Why do you love officiating? Why do you put yourself through the abuse or anything else, right? The scorn. Why are you doing this? And, for us, we've talked about this before, but it's about being involved in the sport, staying active, doing something that allows these young women to participate in a sport that we think is very important. It teaches a lot of life skills outside of letting themselves be active and build the competitive nature, and teaches them about teamwork, and teaches them about disappointment and things like that. So being able to help facilitate that, to be an important part, so that these young people can have an opportunity to play these games, is important for why we do it. And so keeping that in mind, sometimes that's hard to remember when it's April and you've had a bunch of games get rescheduled because the weather here in Ohio is terrible. And so now you have a bunch of games in a row and scheduling shortages. You're getting fielding calls from everyone because people are having a hard time scheduling umpires because there are so many games and not enough umpires, things like that. And you may forget, I have to do this again, or I'm actually going to work a game Saturday and then I got to go across town and work one Saturday evening so that I can get this in. You may forget why. So it's good to get yourself remembering why.
And some of us need to remind our wives why sometimes, but if they get upset, because that does happen to us for sure. Okay, the next area is goal setting. This one is super important, I believe. I think you, Sally says here in the publication, be honest with your self-assessment and commit to goals that are realistic but also challenging. Create an action plan that will help you accomplish those goals. So Mike said this to me years ago and said that, one of the things that you should always have is, what are you working on this season? What are you working on this game? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're going to work on today? And, I think about if we don't talk about my most recent game, we talk about a comfortable game, a conference game, last season. I went into that game knowing that I was going to be working on my secondary responsibility as a base umpire. So the primaries were all great, but I wanted to make sure that I was really concentrating on those secondaries. So I believe somebody who really knows what they're talking about. I don't want to throw any names out on this one, had said that they could tell a very good umpire by watching them be a U1 and a 3 person, because they understood their secondary responsibilities. And if you can get those down, you know, that's the judge of a great umpire. So what are your goals? You know, be realistic in your self-assessment, and what are your goals? You know, if it's, hey, make sure that, you know, I'm not getting all the way to that leading edge of the base. Mm-hmm. And so this year I want to make sure that I increase my athleticism, you know, so that I can get out ahead of these girls because they're fast, you know, and get in position to make the call. That's an awesome goal. Okay. And then set up some action items or an action plan to reach that goal. So always have a goal.
That's the thing, is if you don't have the big goals, the little goals don't matter. So there's a section in the story Alice in Wonderland, when Alice is lost and she comes to a place where she can choose which way to go. And she's talking to the Cheshire Cat. And he said, well, you know, she said, which way should I go? And he goes, well, where are you going? And she said, you know, I don't know, or something like that. And then he goes, then it doesn't matter which road you take. So the point is, because if you're going nowhere, left or right, I'll get you there. In this case, depending on what your goal is, these individual goals may not matter. Your goal may be, I just want to be a better umpire. That's a little non-specific, but, you know, yes, then the game-by-game, getting those things, working on secondary prep, doing that kind of stuff, that'll kind of get you there. But you want to have, you know, specific, you know, they're called SMART goals in the business world, where it's, you know, they're specific, they're measurable, actionable. I forget the R is, and then T is time-bound. You know, you want to do it by a certain time. You know, you have that. So, you know, David has goals in, you know, pursuing becoming an NCAA umpire. He wants to work postseason. He wants to do this and that. He has specific goals that he wants to do. And then the things that he does, the goals he makes between then, you know, attend these camps, work these games, get these things in, you know, work on this, work on that. Those are all in service of that goal. So you should have goals, and they can change. The fact that, you know, in my professional life, I had things that were long-term goals that then became, those didn't become important to me anymore. And I don't even pursue them anymore. I realized maybe they were immature goals, or they were goals that just, as I learned more about them, I realized they wasn't for me. But it didn't matter, because I did some things, and in servicing those goals, I ended up digging up my true goals. So have larger goals, which then inform and drive your smaller goals, which are the game-by-game goals, your off-season goals. You know, David mentioned one of the things you may want to do is improve your fitness so that you can be in a better position. So what does that mean? You know, could that mean the day of, I just decided, oh, today I'm going to be really fast? No, that means you might want to go for walks and then jogs and then runs. It may mean your diet changes. It may mean that you change some other things about your life. You may quit smoking. You may drink less or not at all.
You may go get your knees replaced.
Yeah, you may go get your knees replaced. And so under normal circumstances, maybe you wouldn't do that because, you know, you're going to take on a very sedentary life. But if you choose the umpire life, you've chosen an active life. And so anything you can do in service of those goals become important. I think that's my 2 cents about goal setting.
Yeah. And you actually hit on a lot of the rest of the stuff in the publication as well, Pete. Rules, knowledge, and mechanics. The off season is a fantastic time to get into the book. And that's both books. And remember, and maybe I can get my butt kicked on this one too, but really get into mechanics manual. You know, the rule book, of course, the NCAA rule book, it does change every 2 years. There's, you know, it gets some changes to it every 2 years. So not the whole thing changes, right? But it's still softball, and it almost all makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying don't read the book. You definitely need to read the book, and you need to understand the rules. I think the comprehension is going to be a lot easier in the rule book than it is in the mechanics manual. So really spend some time in the mechanics manual. Make sure that you're following the tried and true practices that have been outlined for us there by the folks that have been here, done that. They know what's best. And for the most part, you know, I haven't had the really good umpires argue the mechanics in there. They talk about these mechanics changes, you know, at the SUP before they publish them. So mm-hmm. there's really good stuff there. They know how to get you in position to put your best game on the field for the girls as an umpire. So really concentrate on the mechanics manual for sure.
You skipped the psych prep.
The psychological preparation, I did. So the psychological preparation paragraph here in the publication refers to rules and mechanics, which is kind of how I ended up there. But mental toughness is also mm-hmm. a necessary skill for an NCAA umpire. So to quote here, mental toughness allows an umpire to concentrate on the game without being distracted by coaches and or fans. It permits an umpire to expeditiously address and rectify a developing situation with confidence, poise, and consistency. So we talked about this in a previous episode about how to deal with difficult players and coaches. Mental toughness is definitely part of being a good umpire, because you have to be composed in everything that you do. The girls are going to be excited. The players are going to be excited. Coaches are going to be excited. The fans are going to be excited. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain your composure in that exciting situation. Be the arbiter, the level-headed arbiter of the whole thing. And that includes making the call, supporting the call, talking to the coach after if necessary. All of that, it has to do with mental toughness. You have to be on your game.
Yeah, and people will... So some people, you know, are easygoing and not going to cause you problems. But there are other people, if you show up and you are not confident, if you show some wishy-washiness in your understanding of the rules, if you let yourself get talked out of a call because maybe you applied a rule and you're like, oh, she's out because of this. And they're like, that's not the rule, blah, blah. And then you change your mind. They may have now since, and you change your mind maybe incorrectly. You know, if you get talked into a rule, quote unquote, that's still bad because now they've shown you don't know the rule. And so maybe they feel like you don't know the rules well enough. And so now they can maybe talk you into one that's not true. So you, because then now you've just shown yourself as weak. So understanding the rules, having confidence in yourself because you know the rules is important. You know, having confidence in the fact that your crew has your back and that the umpire in chief or umpire in charge, whatever the C actually stands for in USC's, the umpire in charge is going to have your back as well. You know, when those things come up and you're out there and you're just representing yourself. And representing your sport is important. But if you show up and you're, I don't know, let me check, let me do this, let me do that. I worked a game once where someone who was an assigner talked to myself and my partner after the game. And he said, we were the first game he had watched that day where every time we made a call before we made it or like right after we made it, we didn't then go check with our partner to see, do you think that was right? Do you think that? No, we were in position. We made the call and then we just went and jogged to our next position. So like, we were showing confidence all throughout the field that we knew what was going on, you know, and so that, and that he, it struck him enough that it was worth mentioning to us that it was,
right.
There's different than some of the things that he had seen. So it does have an effect on people, even if you don't think it does.
Yeah, for sure. So one more point then on the next paragraph about rules and mechanics. I think this is really, really good. So I've been saying, hey, get into the manual. But getting in the manual, what you're trying to do is to develop an understanding of the how, where, and why of the prescribed mechanics. And then this is a direct quote from the publication. The why may be the most important part of that, as in difficult and non-traditional situations, knowing the why will guide you appropriately. And yeah. So that one, and it actually speaks to what I was talking about with comprehension before. You know, the why and the rules is easy. That's the easy part. And that's why it's easy to understand the rules and remember the rules, because they're fair. They make sense. But why should I actually run here in this situation? Why is my primary calling spot here in this situation? You know, if you really understand the why, then if something changes out on the field that's not covered in the immediate recall of what does the mechanics manual say about that, if you really do have an understanding of the why, you'll make the appropriate adjustment because you understand, why do I need to be here?
Because it's, what are the mechanics trying to accomplish? They're trying to get you in a position so that you can see all of the elements. They're trying to get you in a position so that there is appropriate coverage on the field where everywhere something could happen, someone is responsible for it or can see it to be able to see those same elements, you know, things like that. So understanding that does allow you, like you said, to flow and say, oh, there's now an opening here. I think this is going to, I'm going to get myself here. And maybe it was covered in the manual. You just didn't know it. But in reality, you put yourself in 97.2% the right position, you know, with only a small tweak would have had you in the perfect position just because you understood the why.
Yep, exactly right. I think about, for that one, I think about a lot of times, you know, the ball's out and behind me. So I am in. If I understand the why, it's because I want to have everything in front of me. Well, where at in front of me? You know, where's the ball going to be coming from? Is it actually coming from the right fielder into second base, or is it coming from the right fielder who moved to right center field? And my position on seeing that ball come through or come in so that I can see through the play is a little bit different. The manual's not going to address exactly where on the field you stand, right? We talk about there's areas, your calling position is this area type thing. We talk about that primarily in USA Ball, but still, it's not a spot, it's not an X on the map that you run to. It's you go to your primary calling position and then adjust. And if you understand why you're in that position, you will adjust more appropriately, to your point, Pete. So very good. We're going to go pretty quickly here because the rest of the publication, you know, just read for yourself. But one thing that I really wanted to point out, the administrative duties piece, and you hear this consistently. I've never been an assigner, but I understand the challenges that they have to go through. as somebody who, you know, gets assigned, and I have now many assigners. I'm on a lot of lists now, and unfortunately, not everyone utilizes the same platform for their assigning. And so it is really important, especially now, you know, the 2025 season is being assigned now. It's October when we're recording this, so the season is being set, and has been set now by the time you hear this one. But in the off season, make sure that you keep up on your blocks. Make sure that all of your platforms, all your assigning platforms, understand when you get a new assignment or when you get a work trip. You know, you find out that, hey, I have to run to Las Vegas, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in April, you know, the first week of April. Then you get in. For me, it's all five of my assigning platforms that I have to get into. And put those 3 days that I'm out, you know, I'm blocked. So
yeah, so that's work. And that's, if you get an assignment in platform A, you now have to go put blocks in four other platforms because they don't know about your game. Yep. And so that's, and making sure your contact information is up to date. So, you know, if you have the apps installed, are they updated? Do you have notifications turned on if that's necessary? Or do you have your phone number updated? Is your email right?
Yeah, and a big one for every single assigner that I've ever spoken to, a picture, a good updated picture, a headshot picture of you with a plain background, you know, so that they understand who you are. The coaches get to see that too. Most of the coaches, especially in the NCAA, are in that platform as well, so they can get in and see who they have assigned to them and things. So keep up on those administrative duties. Make sure that you get all of your regulatory stuff done. If you'd have to, if you're safe sport area, you know, anything like that, you know, make sure that you stay up on your concussion certifications, make, you know, everything that you need to do administratively, make sure that gets taken care of in the off season.
Awesome. And there's a quote at the bottom, actually, like it says, it's not pressure unless you aren't prepared. So, you know, a person who is prepared and a person who is ready and a person who's done all these things will certainly feel a lot less pressure because they can just relax and rely on their training and just do what comes naturally at that point. And they're not going to feel it as much as someone who, you think about, what if you were thrown, what if you right now, someone woke you up, 12-year-old you, and threw you on the field to be a Division I umpire of something. You'd feel so much pressure because you don't know what to do. I'm going to screw up. I don't know the rules. I don't know where to be. I don't know where to stand.
Completely unprepared.
Yeah. Right? And so somewhere in that spectrum is where you are today, and just move a little more to the right every single day.
Get prepared. Set those goals.
There you go.
And that's all we have for you today. Thanks for
listening. Until next time. Yeah.